I'm Eric Teal. We've got more live music for you today. My guest in the JPR studios is Joshua James. Joshua, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you.
You've brought some friends in. Who's with you today?
Well, we have over here Timothy George. He plays drums in the band. Evan Coulomb on electric guitar and Isaac Russell on bass guitar and singing.
Welcome, you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for being our guest. So, Joshua, I read you grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah,
right?
I did.
In a family that was fairly religiously strict.
Yeah.
Did that have implications for your experience with music growing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was always music in the house. My mother really liked the Carpenters and Carole King and the Beach Boys. But for the most part, rock and roll wasn't really welcomed into the home. I think just because of some of the content that some of that early rock and roll can give off. And you know, as a 13, 14-year-old boy, at that time, it was the big grunge phase. So there was the Nirvana, you know. Metallica was really big at the time, too. So, you know, I was getting into that kind of side of music as well, and my parents were not happy with it. So there was a lot of hiding and breaking of CDs, and I mean, and it wasn't like this insane thing of a battle for music, but rock and roll wasn't. I couldn't listen to it really in the house. I had to listen to it at a friend's house or in headphones, and that was kind of my musical background growing up.
And you didn't play music as a kid, right?
No, I mean, to say I didn't play at all would be a lie. I took a little bit of piano lessons growing up from my mother, but I quit when I think I was in 8th grade or so, and then I did have a classical guitar in the home that one of my father's best friends taught me a bunch of really cool tunes like This Land Is Your Land and Michael Row Your Boat Ashore, a lot of old folk songs. He was really into that. So I played a little bit of guitar growing up, but it really wasn't until I moved to Utah that I got into playing music, like really playing music and learning chords not studying. I've never studied the guitar, but learning it better.
And the move to Utah was after you'd spent a couple of years out of the country, right?
Yeah, I was in Venezuela for a couple of years.
Doing what?
I was a religious missionary.
Okay.
So I went out there for a mission, and I spent 2 years in Venezuela, and one of the greatest experiences of my life, just I went out there when I was 19 years old, you know, away from my parents. It was the first time I'd really left my home. And to go from Lincoln, Nebraska to Caracas, Venezuela is a very it's a big cultural shock, you know. I didn't speak Spanish very well. They gave me a little bit of training, but it was poor at best. Mm. And I couldn't understand what they were saying. And I'm sitting there, I'm in... You know, I get to this apartment complex where there's cockroaches all over the place. I was so upset about the cockroach infiltration on my personal space that I got sick when I was there. Like, I was physically sick for a week because I was so overwhelmed with the fact that these things were crawling on me in the night. And it put me in a really terrible mindset. But once I got over the cockroaches and just kind of embraced the culture and started learning Spanish better, obviously,
yeah.
Man, it was amazing.
My mom's from Lincoln, Nebraska, so I know
there
are cockroaches
really?
There.
Oh, well, yeah, there is,
right.
But nothing. I mean, no, man. No, and in fact, no, there's not. Not like this. Those aren't cockroaches, okay? Go to Venezuela or maybe, I'm sure, in South America. I mean, I'm telling you what, man, cockroaches, like this, like 6 inches big, just these massive things. And I, in that first apartment that I lived in, it was a 4-post bed that I slept on. And I would wrap duct tape backwards around
Ooh.
The thing so that, because they'd crawl up the post and they'd get stuck on it. So in the morning, you'd see all these cockroaches stuck to the duct tape.
It's a great
I'm
visual.
Telling you, man, I mean, cockroaches in your oatmeal and in the fridge and in the oven. And it was just, it was a different place. It is a different place, yeah.
Joshua James is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called, I'm going to give you the chance to pronounce it.
From the Top of Willamette Mountain. Come on, man. It's Willamette Mountain because we're not talking about Willamette. If I was talking about Willamette, there is no Willamette Mountain, is there?
No.
No, absolutely not.
But there,
but
is,
there
a
is a Willamette Mountain.
Right, and there's a Willamette Valley
yes.
where the album's produced. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's start with some music. What are you going to play first for us?
This is a song off from the top of Willamette Mountain called Queen of the City. Well, if I wrote it in your letter,
well, it don't mean a thing. I am a liar, a dirty wire. Just name my body, I'll make you sick. You have a savior, it's your heart of anger. But my dog ain't nothing, he ain't nothing like my lover. Ain't nothing like my lover at all. He will sit upon my shoulder, let the dark day come. The dark day come me up. I've got $2 half underneath my bed. One's for my baby, one's for the lady on the sixth floor. Found me when my mind was dead. By what they tell you, but I'm here to save you. And my dog ain't nothing, he ain't nothing like my lover. Ain't nothing like my lover at all. And he will sit upon my shoulder, let the dark day come. Dark day come near. I heard a lady singing, we're all bound together, la 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 la. And I joined her side by saying, to dance beneath the heaven, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Christ, your mother, she's hanging on my bedroom door. I bet she's pretty, queen of the city. Just burn the sinner so I can join your corps. We'll sing holy, holy till our day of glory. But my Lord, you ain't nothing, you ain't nothing like my lover. Ain't nothing like my lover at all. On my shoulder, let the dark day come. The dark day cover me up. You can see it upon my shoulder, let the dark day come. The dark day cover me
It's Joshua James live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, online streaming at ijpr.org. Queen of the City is from the new album From the Top of Willamette Mountain.
Yes.
Going back a couple of albums to The Sun is Always Brighter, This was an album that had a number of songs that would be considered sort of head boppy, but lyrically, not so much. Sort of downer lyrics, but with this weird dichotomy of upbeat, kind up-tempo
happy
songs.
Yeah.
Was that an intentional confluence of sounds?
I think it was just kind of one of those things that there's a lot of songs, and the producer that produced it just kind of, it was a very quickly produced and made album. And I think, yeah, he sort of wanted to hear that singly type thing to it. And lyrically, I've always kind of put myself in less of I don't want to say this sounds so prideful, but just not super mainstream lyrically, I guess. Mm. But so I think he kind of wanted to hear that sound with the songs that I had brought to him. So it was produced in that vein of like kind of like you said, like the boppy up tempo head bopping thing with that lyrical background behind it.
One of the things that permeates your music all the way through the new one, Willamette Mountain, are religious themes. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, your upbringing was in a very strict, structured religious household. Where did you end up falling on that religious or that spiritual spectrum?
Is in right now, currently, yeah, talking
and
to you.
How it influences your music and drives your lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, religion is such a huge part of how I was raised and will always be a part of who I am because of that. And I don't really adhere to any religious group any longer, but it's still, you know, the concept and the idea of God and some sort of deity, eye in the sky, whatever you want to call it, is just something that I think will always be part of my brain. It's just kind of tattooed in there. Whether or not I believe it, it doesn't really matter. And so the songs that, you know, that I write come from obviously that same spot. And so it kind of infiltrates almost all of my songs have some sort of higher power feel, or not feeling, but lyrical reference or thought behind it. And so yeah, it is a big part of my life. And I'm not a religious man, but I am I think about it a lot. I think about death and what happens when I die. I think we all do. I think it's inevitable not to. Yeah, so I guess that's kind of why it's in my songs. It was such a big part of my life, and my family is still very religious, and it's just kind of one of those things that I think is a part of me. And yeah. I'm not ashamed of it. It is. It's just part of who I am.
You're listening to a live session on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio with Joshua James and his band. The new album is called From the Top of Willamette Mountain. You, like many artists and others, decided to make a pilgrimage out west. You didn't make it very far. You only went from Lincoln to Utah.
Well,
What happened? What?
I found a lady.
Oh.
I found love.
Gotcha.
So I went out there for school originally, and I met my lover, Emma. We worked at this health food store together and fell in love and just, you know, got married. And she grew up in the valley in Utah, and it was never my plan to stay there for very long. It was my plan to be there for school and then kind of back. I don't know. I didn't know what my plan was from there. I was in nursing school when I started kind of doing the music thing. And she wanted to be around her family, which I understand. I want to be around my family, but there's no way I'm living in Lincoln. So it's kind of one of those things that I married into Utah, I suppose. And so, yeah, I didn't make it too far west, did I?
Yeah. And you've got kind of a cool thing going on there in Utah from what I hear. I don't know if farm is the right term, or homestead?
It's more of a homestead, backyard, farm thing.
Gardening, animals.
Gardening, animals, yeah. We have 5 goats and 9 chickens. We try to raise honeybees, and then we have a pretty big garden, some dogs and cats.
And you named it.
And we named it Willamette Mountain. And I know that we're in Oregon right now, and I, you know, we've played a couple shows in Oregon, and there's people, it's Willamette, it's not Willamette. And I understand that, but I didn't know that at the time. I don't really know where I read it, but I'm sure I read it in some magazine, whether it was a rock climbing magazine or an outdoors magazine, Willamette Valley. And I loved the idea of naming my house and creating its own. The whole thought behind it was to create its own township. Like, here's my house. It's not, you know, my address is 600 something Willamette Mountain, as opposed to American Fork, Utah. Willamette Mountain, Utah. Yeah. And so that was kind of the idea behind it. And the wildest part about the record and about the name of my home is when we went to go record it, I still was unaware of Willamette Valley. And we came to Oregon and recorded it in Willamette Valley. And when we were recording, there's a song on the record called Willamette Mountain. And when we were recording that song, the producer was like, oh, he corrects me. It's actually Willamette Mountain. And I'm like, no, it's Willamette. Trust me, it's Willamette. And he's like, no, it's pronounced Willamette. You're in the Willamette Valley. And it was just kind of this very wild,
was it tense?
Serendipitous. A little. I mean, Yeah. No, no, it wasn't. It wasn't tense at all. But it was it's kind of just a wild story. And so, I mean, what else could we have named it but, you know, have Willamette Mountain in the title of the record? Yeah. It was the only way that, it was the only title I could think of that fit it.
Can we hear another tune?
Absolutely.
Well, I lived in that town until I was 17. When I moved to the mountains that rose from the sea, but they taught me to pray each and every day. They said if I didn't, that the devil, well, he would take me. And so I threw my hands up and I spoke to the Lord. I said, I'm a sinner, an apocryphal poet. It seems that God wasn't near, for no words did I hear. Could it be I was talking to no one? So please beware, in a mysterious way, God is here. Please beware, He's your pity, your pain, He's your fear. Please remember, my son, what I've taught you ain't much. It is God who will take you from here. Well, I will not deny that the Lord might exist, but He ain't quite the problem to the answers we've missed. Don't base your whole life off of one bad disguise. You never know behind which mask He's looking. And if it is comfort or peace in your religion that you seek, and it makes you feel whole, then it worked, don't you think? We could argue and scream, paint each other obscene, but I've recently known it don't matter. So please beware, in a mysterious way, God is here. Please beware, He's your pity and pain, He's your fear. Please remember, my son, but I've taught you ain't much. It is God who will take you from here.
It's Joshua James live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. So, Joshua, you also maintain a blog.
Yes.
A pretty active one, actually. Pretty a lot of musicians have blogs, and sometimes there's one post every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
But you write a lot on there. Is that something that you enjoy doing?
I love blogging. I mean, for me, it's a perfect way to look back at what I've been doing, you know? Because I forget. I forget about experiences. I forget about people and towns that I've gone to, and so I try to stay pretty active on it, and it definitely started out as kind of a thing just to have my family kind of know where I was, because I'm not the best at communicating sometimes via telephone, and so it's a good way to connect with not only my family but also, you know, people that fans or whatever you want to call it, and
So in a matter of a couple of years here, since what, I guess 2009, when that first album was a huge critical success and a follow-up, and now this one as well, you have gone from traveling out to find a homestead in Utah to really traveling all over the world playing venues. Is there a specific place that you guys have been and played that has become your favorite, either because of the venue or because of the people that were there or just the experience?
We just recently did a European tour, and we were able to visit Finland. And we played in, we played three shows in Finland, and for me, and I know, I think the boys would maybe echo my sentiment, it was an incredible experience, and the, like you mentioned, the people were just so kind and giving and listening. They were listening, and just felt a strong connection there. It was absolutely stunning.
So it feels different then, right?
Oh, I mean, like, yes, a lot very of, much so.
A lot of American States. Clubs, you know, there's a bunch of people in front of the stage, and then there's a bunch of people in the back drinking and talking.
And talking, yeah.
Not that way in Finland?
No, not like that way really in England either. I mean, most of the venues when we traveled overseas were very, everyone from the promoter to the people that came out to the show were just very respectful, and it seemed that they were very grateful that we were there. And not all the time, but often in the States, it feels the complete opposite, as if the venue's doing you a favor by letting you play their venue. And that's a very twisted thing, you know? And the last thing somebody wants is to show up and feel that. Like, yeah. And it puts it, it, not only does it put the band in a weird, you know, mindset, but it just, it makes for a bad show, because we don't feel like we're being taken care of in this place that we are. And it's already a strange lifestyle to be traveling around, sleeping on couches and not sleeping well and not eating well and not exercising. It's already very unnatural. And so the last thing you want is to have to put up with some jerk, you know.
Well,
I couldn't think of another word. I was going to use a different word, but we're on the air, so.
Yeah. Well, we're stoked that you guys are here today. Thanks for taking time and stopping. So let me ask you this. Do you watch Sons of Anarchy?
I just started watching Sons
just
of Anarchy.
Just now?
Yeah. Well, I don't have television.
Explain.
Yeah,
One of your songs was picked up and used in the opening montage of Sons of Anarchy.
And I didn't see it for the first long while. My mom TiVo'd it. And so when I went through Nebraska, I was able to see it.
You weren't curious to see how they
I was. I just... I don't know, man. Life's
chickens.
Busy. There's a lot of stuff going on. I think, yeah, we had baby goats and there was chickens and my lady was, you know, I mean, she loves spending time with me. So I just spent a lot of time with her.
How did that partnership start with Sons of Anarchy?
They had talked to me about doing a cover song for the show, and I ended up doing No Milk Today by Herman's Hermits. I guess they liked the song, and then I got the album and asked if they could use Cold War for the perfect placement for us, obviously, you know, just like the openings.
Like the lead into the show.
Yeah, the lead into the show of season three.
We hear stories from time to time of that kind of placement just really being a catalyst for huge exposure.
It's
worked that way?
Yeah, it's helped a lot.
Your tour, and I think everybody else's tour right now, is all heading one specific direction.
Oh, heavens, I know, man.
Right? Austin, Texas.
I know, Austin, Texas.
You've been there before?
You son of a gun, yes.
For the festival?
For the festival.
For music goers, music lovers, this place is mecca. I mean, there's 50 shows every 2 hours for multiple days.
Maybe more. There's even more. There
what's it like
so
for an artist?
Many.
I mean, you've got demands for
terrible,
interviews.
Maybe.
Really?
If I couldn't think of a better word. Because, you know, it's just, there's no sound check, and it's just, it's awesome to go see music. There is, like you said, too much music to be seen. And you show up, and it's kind of that thing where, okay, throw up. Okay, you have 2 minutes to sound check. Okay, go. You just kind of go at it. It's just a very barbaric, and like, I feel like, you know, you almost feel like you need to have like a loincloth and just like, and meat in your hand. And
does it feel necessary still though?
No, not at all.
Really?
I don't quite know why we go and play South by Southwest. We've played 4 years, I think, in a row, and it's fun though. At the same time, you see a lot of your friends, and the weather's always really nice, and you can do some creek walking and swimming, and you can kind of it's a good reconnect to hear of new bands too. Like, you hear a lot of oh yeah, you guys should check this band out or whatnot. So it's just, it's a good thing to do, but I don't feel like it's a career builder ever. It never has been for me, at least.
That's certainly how it's portrayed.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like, go to South by, get a good South by Southwest showcase, you know, show them what you got, and then they're going to sign you, and you're going to be a star. And that is not, I mean, man, I'm sitting here, you know, we played last night to like 40 people. It is not that way. And I've played 4 years in a row. So bands that are listening, it is not true.
Do you get time to listen to much when you're there, or are you just too sound?
Yeah, I think we see quite a few bands. Yeah, we see quite
a few.
So
you kind of go as music lovers too, then, right?
That's kind of why I like to go. Yeah. I'd almost prefer not to play.
Do you get better parking because you're in a band?
No. Have no parking. And that's the thing, man. You got to haul in all your stuff, and everyone's looking at you like, oh, look at this guy coming in with his guitar. You just feel just like a fish out of water there. It's strange.
Well, thanks for stopping by today. Yes. It's been a real pleasure to have you. The new album is called From the Top of Willamette Mountain. Joshua James and his band are my guests live in the studio. Can we go out with one more?
Absolutely. This is a song that we don't really do acoustic often, so we're going to try to give it a go and see what see what happens here.
It's Joshua James live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called From the Top of Willamette Mountain, making your way towards South by Southwest. Guys, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, man. Pleasure. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.